strong in the bowl, who have been taunted and traumatised for over 37 years. This one is for you. Richmond, yes, Richmond, our premiers. 5:13 p.m. on Saturday, September 30, 2017, is officially Tiger Time.
We never wait until the last
time.
A celebration of all good things Richmond right now.
Nothing about
it. Alex Rance.
He's never not going to go, was he? Was he?
Pick up from Cotchin. Left off snap. The goal of the game.
Trent Zimmer and Brendan Gale deserve all credit. They've built something fantastic and we just got to keep riding away.
Martin, 3 votes.
And welcome back to Richmond Tiger Talk. My name's Nick.
And I'm Andy.
And just to do a quick check, Andy, are we still smug?
We are still very smug. And, you know, right now I'm feeling like we will never lose another game.
I know. It's hard. So we did a show a couple of months ago, maybe 6 weeks or so, looking forward to the preseason. We said, number one priority, no serious injuries, tick. I think pretty much everything else that's happened since then is at least as much as we could hope for, if not dream about.
Yeah, exactly. Like, everything's going so well. You know, no major injuries, teams in superb form, no evidence of grand final hangover. I'm just waiting for Richo to do his knee as he runs out to the boundary at the SCG. It's just, things are perfect right now. And the forums are happy. Lots of media pundits are talking us up. The AFL, rather than belittling, ignoring, or patronising us, or using us for cheap fodder, is doing incredible videos about our premiership run. Essentially, it's obvious because it's the only time in my lifetime we're in a post-premiership year, but this is easily the rosiest thing that's ever been for me as a Richmond supporter.
Yeah, it's not even close.
Exactly. There's no number two. I can't possibly find a number two.
No, 95 was pretty good fun, but yeah, no, not.
And then we sacked the coach.
And then we sacked. Yeah. Oh my god. Look, without dwelling on last season, although God knows, I don't know why you wouldn't want to dwell on last season.
But I was actually waiting, watching the grand final while waiting for you to call me.
Yeah. Then, you know, with all these hype videos for the new AFL season, yeah, I'm still getting a bit dusty when they, particularly the grand final and the Geelong game, they're the two that really get me.
Oh, the Don't Believe in Never video that came out a few days ago. I showed the kids today and completely did it for me. I was a mess.
Yeah. Actually, and I say that, but also Jack weeping at the end of the GWS game. Ooh, that gets me fair and square too.
Yeah. Anyway, we have discussed the grand final once or twice, so I think it's fair to say there is a little bit in the JLT. It's not quite the same as analysing a grand final, but there's been a few interesting developments. And
and the best thing about it is that it's recognisable. Like
it's actual football.
They've gone away we've loved them dearly. We've watched the replays 100 times, and now they're back and they're just as beautiful as we remember them. Like, how often do you get to have that in your life?
Exactly. Like, some of them look like our star players look like they're playing the week after the Adelaide game, except without the hangover. Nick?
I know. And some all sort of, a lot of the younger players have come back fitter and bigger. Look, we'll go through them, but it's hard to... There's not much premiership paunch to be seen. It's a pretty fit, lean, hungry unit.
Oh, absolutely. And the only thing I'm slightly sad about is that there's 4 premiership players potentially at most that can't line up in round one team, because I just want to see all those guys together again. Which apparently the premiership 22 has never played a game together in Richmond's history. But you know, at the moment with Broad, Prestia, Hawley, and one other name escapes me, all under injury clouds.
Rioli,
sorry, of course. History may repeat itself.
Yeah, I know. And look, we'll cover that more next week when we sort of do a normal preview show for round one, although noting that there's nothing normal about getting to preview a game where you unfurl a premiership flag.
Absolutely.
But yeah, so perhaps even starting at that last name first, you know, one of the things we wanted to find out from preseason was who's going to replace Dan Rioli in the team, and I think we've got a pretty comprehensive answer.
Marbiachol.
Yeah, no, it's Liam Baker.
Yeah. So it's interesting, you know. I mean, he's the Bolton's got the incredible, the Shed's quick hands, but also has, I think, the best crumbing ability of anyone on the team. Like, his ability to get to the ball on the ground is amazing. He's kicking goals, he's setting up a lot. The JLT.
Rioli's pretty good too, but yeah.
I still think Bolton's the best on the team. But you know what? Like, in the North game, it didn't matter, but there was still... I could see, you know, in the press conference afterwards, Dimmel was a bit measured when he talked about Bolton. He said, you know, he criticised his defensive work rate. And actually, you know what? You can see it on the tape a little bit. There was at least one goal North scored where, had that been Rioli giving that chase, that they may not have got there. The defensive pressure would have been better. So, I mean, Nick, I love Shai Bolton. And
deeply so, yeah.
And he's the antidote to, if teams work out some of our forward structure, he's the X-factor player in our forward line that will allow us to kick winning scores, because I think that's where we're most vulnerable. If we go back into how we were playing mid-year last year, is where we score too lowly. And Shai Bolton may be the answer to that. But, yeah, I can see...
I know. And he is so good on the right as well.
Yep, absolutely.
Yeah. And, you know, that teams wanting to clog things up in our forward line, get numbers back, you know, stop us from generating that fast-flowing play, you know, his ability to weave through traffic and take the right options at speed, I've loved his preseason. He really is the Shane Edwards successor, while we've still got Shane Edwards in the team for those lightning quick hands, and for actually the occasional butchered shot at goal as well.
That's true, but he is, there's an amazing upside there.
He's lightning fast in a way that Shane Edwards isn't. I mean, Sheds is a really good endurance athlete, which is maybe underrated sometimes, but yeah, Shai's just has that instant speed.
Yeah, and to me, he has to play, but I can see why. It'll be a longer conversation.
Oh, absolutely.
It'd be a longer conversation at the selection panel than the average fan would think.
Mm. You know who I think? Well, I mean, there's a number of guys actually who I could say next who are looking really good. But do you want to talk about Josh Caddy or Jack Graham next?
Jack. You know, how long do you think it'll be that Josh Caddy will move up the pantheon and sort of, like, Josh Caddy right now is a premiership player, so he's default beloved. But he's probably, if you had a popularity contest amongst those 22, he's not in the top 12. He's not as popular as he is good. Do you understand what I mean? You know, there'd be other players.
Yes, probably so. Yeah.
And, you know, if his game steps up and he loves interacting with the crowd. You know, you go back and watch those finals games. He loves a good celebration to the crowd. You know, at what point does Josh
McCaddy?
Josh Caddy just gets a bit better. What point does Josh Caddy become a fan favourite? Because it does look like there's another gear there. And we also learned that from the Conrad Marshall book that he had knee tendonitis last year. So perhaps he's got over that a little bit.
Well, he looks really trim and just confident running across the ground, and I've got the hope as well that last year was by far his worst year kicking for goal of his career, and unless there's something fundamental about putting on a Richmond jumper, I reckon that could improve as well.
Yeah, and you know that is an open theory that they are just yellow and black do kick badly for goal by the end of last year.
Certainly happened to poor Aaron Edwards. That's another story.
But yeah, he led the team in contested possessions against Essendon, and you know, lest we forget that he actually came to Richmond to play in the midfield and then didn't play there any more than he did in Geelong. So maybe his desires were finally been realised in his second season.
Yeah, no, he's looked great, and that's been one of the really nice things is that in both JLT games and look, but the other teams are not playing entirely full strength lineups as well. But we've been able to play for sustained periods without any of our first choice on ball unit and not drop away very much. And yeah, I mentioned Jack Graham, but he looks friggin' fantastic. He's still, you know, still like to see him win a bit more ball, but oh, gee, he looks good. So, speaking of the on-ball unit, I think both rucks look fit, in form, cracking in hard.
I was really impressed with Soldo's game. And to me, there's just absolutely no competition that Soldo's our second-best ruck. Thank you, Captain Obvious. But if you had a look, like, we're basically against the North Melbourne, which has a pretty good ruck group. We basically drew even on the ruck hitouts, and a lot of that actually had to do with Soldo, not with Nick. He's big, he's strong. He can only play in a phone booth because he's not particularly agile. But you know, within that phone booth, he can bully other AFL rucks, and he tackles.
He smashed some dudes.
I know this is he's not remembered fondly amongst Richmond supporters, but he reminds me a bit of Angus Graham, except with a bit more niggle.
Yeah, I can see that. Yeah, no, he looked really good. Speaking of,
also couldn't have been less confident when he had a shot for goal.
Yeah. Actually, you can see the team very discreetly setting up for the kick out. Oh, God bless him. I liked Corey Ellis's game, particularly against Essendon, but actually against North on replay, it looked better than it did at the time. He did a few subtle things, and yeah, he won his fair share of contests. And I think, well, particularly now that you're meant to be naming a squad of 26, so I'm pretty confident he'll be in the 26 for next week.
Yeah, and, you know, if you sort of, you know, he did get a few things wrong in the Essendon game. He had one or two howls in particular, but, you know, he had 12 touches from 46% game time. So if you think about that over the course of the game, it was actually, he did some pretty good things too. So, for a guy, who's, you know, we talked about him the last episode about he's always the one, he was meant to be the one last year that would kick on and never did. But, you know, the opportunity's there. He may finally stop disappointing and actually start delivering.
I know. Well, there is a...
Stop teasing.
There is a real dilemma, because after reading the Conrad Marshall book, you know, I think Reece Conker may be the nicest person in the whole world. And it's really hard not to barrack for him now, even though there's perhaps, strictly on football terms, there's other guys who I'd prefer to be in the team.
So in the first 7 minutes of the North game, he dropped two tackles. Actually, that happened in the first 2 minutes, tackles that were arguably makeable. And then Goldstein dummied him to kick the goal. So that was it wasn't the greatest start to the JLT. But on the upsize, what did you think of Jaden Short?
Well, Jaden Short had as many bounces, running bounces, as North Melbourne did. It's always a cute little stat, but yeah, he's really fit and running hard. Still sprays the kicks a bit. Like, he's a really nice long kick, but he still sprays them a little bit. But yeah, it really does feel like that we have, when you take into account, so Conker, Corey Ellis, Shai Bolton, Sammy Lloyd did absolutely nothing wrong in limited game time. Callum Moore we'll get to. Like, there really is a depth of guys pushing to come up into the seniors.
Do you think it works? Maybe it's a conversation for next week. Does it work with Jaden Short replacing Broad, or do we become too short?
Short has noticeably moved into the midfield, which I've been interested by. He's only played a little bit down back. So,
but I thought he trained there.
You have to play him on the...
I thought he trained there, but he was getting most of his possessions sort of sweeping across half back.
Yeah, look, they didn't have they haven't had any problems with matchups for him. Like he matches up badly on the Toby Green types, who are small but strong in the air. So yeah, it's just if you're against Essendon, he may not play, but someone like Fantasia, yeah, he can take that matchup. So I think, yeah, he's certainly playable.
Yeah. Okay.
Someone who, you know, perhaps we've talked about, you know, whether or not his spot in the team is assured. I think on the evidence of the two JLT games, you would have to prize Townsend out of the team with a crowbar, and even that may not work.
Well, aside from probably no one in the coaching staff would be brave enough to tell him that he's dropped. You know, the hit he did on Kane Turner, where he took that mark, sort of, you know, the legend of Jacob Townsend is growing. And he also hammered Higgins, as Higgins kicked the goal, but probably wished that he didn't, considering it was a preseason game. You know, other AFL players noticed this. You know, this is... Townsend is the kind of guy you want on his team, because the other team knows where he is at all times.
Yeah, and the question we've always had about are teams going to respect him in the air? Well, they had a stat in the North Melbourne game that he'd been targeted inside 50 almost as much as Jack. Like, he's making himself really useful, and I think he does a lot of good things. Like in the grand final montage where Jack takes his big specky at the punt road end, if you see the start of the play, you can see Townsend clearly holding on to Lever's arm to stop him jumping in the air.
Yeah, he's probably, if you just watch, he just doesn't have midfielder skill with the ground ball. Like, he's not awful. He does some nice things, but we'll see. Got him.
He's a round peg in a round hole at the moment.
Yeah, I adore him.
Yeah, me too. Look, you could talk about a number of guys, but you know, having become late, but I now come with enormous affection for Kane Lambert, and particularly his around the corner goals. Yeah, he's had a good preseason too.
Yep, he's reached another high level. I was just hearing Colin Marshall the other day saying, consistently, what a great boat Kane Lambert is, which made me like him even more.
Mm.
Just on a few other quick notes, I thought George, some of his skill issues haven't gone away, but my God, that kid can run. It seems like he's going even faster than he was last year.
Mm.
His defensive pressure is superb.
Yeah. You can say most of those same things about Camden McIntosh, with the added bonus of him monstering some poor dude at least once or twice a game.
Yeah, and kicking really well for goal, off a limited sample size.
Yeah. Yeah. No, enjoyed his work. Actually, someone who I wanted to spend a bit of time on, we live in mortal fear of a serious injury to either Jack or Rance, but Ryan Garthwaite held up pretty nicely in that Essendon game as a key back.
Yeah, he was okay. Didn't do too much wrong, except he did get mustered by McKernan a few times.
Yeah, that's
bad matchup.
Yeah, that's all it is. That's the one weakness he has, that he's still a bit light in his body, but like a broken record, returning to the yellow and black book, that how much they liked Garthwaite, but saw him as being a couple of year project. And I think both of those qualities were on display in the game. Reads the play well, covers a ton of ground, competes hard. Yeah, just needs to get bigger, but yeah, no, it was a good game.
So, what about his sort of key position stablemate, Moore?
He flashed both in AFLX, which was look, if you're desperate for football, and I was desperate for football, it was perfectly amusing, but
Yeah, got to see Noah Bolter.
We'll talk about him too. But yeah, and look, Callum, the second half of the North Melbourne game, the sting had gone out of a pretty tepid game. But yeah, he kicked a goal from 55 metres off three steps. Lovely roving goal a bit later on. He's a really good athlete. And he's slowly learning how to play football better. I feel if he had to replace Jack, that'd be asking a lot. But actually, I think we could play him as a second tall forward and not lose much by way of speed and pressure. Because yeah, he's as quick as.
Yeah, and yeah, maybe make a case you play him to replace Rioli if there's some reason. Shy is out of favour or injured. Yeah, agree with all that. He's very skinny, isn't he?
Mm. Yeah, he
looks 19.
Yeah, he's got a little bigger, and the kicking motion doesn't make you want to be sick, which was perhaps he's got some junior highlights that are just awful. If you go to certain games, but yeah, he's a win for the development staff. A couple of guys, I think it's notable who didn't play in either of the JLT games, that Anthony Miles didn't get a sniff. I think Markov's coming back from an injury, so you'd have to think that those guys are a bit further away from the team.
Yeah, absolutely, and yeah, there was a whole bunch of guys that we previously had been hanging our hopes and dreams on that are very near the first 22.
Connor Menadue, who, yeah, really good athlete.
Has been injured, but yeah, nowhere near first 22.
No.
I mean, you know, he was probably getting games early on because we were a slower team and he had the X factor, and now that quality is not nearly at such a premium because we've got a lot of guys who can run. But, yeah, he's certainly, there's a few guys in the past we've been excited about that hopefully they can get together in the VFL and be pushing by mid-year.
Mm. Well, speaking of pushing in the VFL, like both in the last VFL practice game, but also a little bit in AFLX, like I was very excited about Higgins, and I think that excitement's probably tepid a little bit, but that's, I don't think he's quite as ready-made as a small forward as we might have hoped, but I think that's partly because the team sees him as a midfield and have played him in the VFL as such.
Yeah, it made me reflect on watching early Trent Cotchin, early Dustin Martin, or even early Nick Wallstone in the VFL, who, you know, was not perfect at that age, was they looked miles better than all their teammates because they sort of looked like AFL players.
Mm.
You know, they weren't fumbly and useless, and, you know, they not useless, it's too harsh, but you know what I mean. Where it's nice where Jack Higgins, who by all reports is quite good at football, comes in and looks not quite ready for it yet.
Yeah, yeah. Look, he does some things really well. He's super high work rate, cracks in hard. He's going to get a lot of tackles. He's got a bit of the Anthony Miles in that. Can kick a goal.
Yep.
But he's not super quick, and he's not a really long kick. So they're the two things that probably stopped him being a top 10 draft pick. But yeah, I think he's perfectly on track to have a good AFL career.
Lots of tackles.
Mm. Lots of tackles. Mentioned Noah Bolter. Yeah, he's when you see him play, when he's playing well, and look, it was AFLX, so again, giant caveat, but yeah, he physically looks like Rance, he covers the ground really well, he kicks the ball a long way. Yeah, it's hard to see how he drifted to pick 25 in the draft.
Yeah, him and Miller are certainly the tools that are getting the love from the VFL watchers at the moment, so... Yeah, I'm excited seeing Noah.
Yeah, no. Patrick Nash, a bit of buzz about him. Callum Coleman Jones, probably a little bit had an injury interrupted preseason, so probably look, we just don't need him this season either. So you know,
you never know though. Like he's probably potentially more likely to. Well. No, because Bolter could play if we get desperate. If Asper or Rance goes down, it gets pretty desperate pretty quickly. But the, you know, you have two ruck injuries, and I haven't seen Callum Sinclair Jones, but I can't imagine he's losing ruck drip jewels to Marvia Chola training.
No, probably not. I have heard he did. Let's get. Has been getting monstered by Rance a bit, but you can't blame him for that.
Nick.
Oh, no, they're seeing marking drills.
Oh, okay, fair enough.
Yeah.
Yeah, fair enough.
Mm.
Yeah.
Yeah. If we had to play Tyson Stengel in the seniors, yeah, I reckon he'd be fine. Not as good as the others, but he'd be fine.
Mm. So, any other hot takes from the preseason?
Oh, look, I almost don't want it to end because it's been so perfect, you know. The team's playing really well, we've got more than 80,000 members, we're about to unveil a premiership flag. Yeah, it's hard to see where it's going wrong.
No, we're all going, just on the membership quickly, if you're living overseas, even if you buy a normal membership to get a grand final barcode, finals proper membership, so you can have a barcode to buy finals tickets. You should still buy the international membership because it's cheaper than buying the watch AFL.
Yeah.
Just by $9 in the case of Richmond.
Yeah.
Still,
I wish I'd.
The money goes to the club.
Yeah, I wish I'd. Yeah. Wish I'd known that. But yeah. Known that before when I had need of it. The other thing, I'm glad actually that, there's a little bit of evidence of the club gouging the supporters on the player sponsorship front, but my grand final guarantee, which I largely regarded as a gift to the club for a decade, hasn't gone up dramatically in price in comparison to Collingwood, who are still have been charging their fans more than $300, despite not being anywhere near a grand final the last 5 years.
For an increasingly unlikely grand final guarantee. At what point do Richmond supporters start being magnanimous towards Adam Trawell?
Couple more premierships.
Yep. And I know some people are starting to get sick of it, but let's just remember how Collingwood supporters would have been in the reverse situation.
Yeah. I think we're entitled to feel smug and happy for quite a while to come.
And we don't have any as a president, so, I feel sorry for the thinking man's Collingwood supporter because he would send me nuts if I broke for Collingwood.
I know. and the loneliness would kill you.
Awesome. As it was, I was just thinking if we did North Melbourne Kangaroos talk, about how infuriated I would be that Jarrett Waite is on the list.
Oh, yeah, that's a long, hard rebuild.
Yeah. Anyway,
well,
that's
not us.
That's a time for another generation.
I'm Nick.
I'm Andy.
We're Richmond Tiger Talk.
Just a celebration of all good things Richmond right now.
Come from that way.
Alex Rance.
He's never not going to go, was he? Was he?
Pick up from Cotchin. Left off snap.
Something fantastic in...